The third parak, the Baba Kama, Mishnah Yud, I believe. Makes sense? Yep. Now, the Mishnah is going to say that there are sometimes some kind of violence that's carried out by your cow, that if your cow does it, you'll be chayev, but if you do it, you'll be pater. And certain kind of violence carried out by you, that if you do it, you'll be chayev, but if your cow did it, you'd be pater. Here's what, two examples of each. They're really obviously underlying principles, nothing to do with the particular, they're like whole different kinds of cases. So, we start first with things that your cow doing would not obligate you. So, the Mishnah starts out, it says, Yesh chayev al ma'aseh shoro, there are certain things that if your cow did it, you'd be obligated for. Upatar al masa atmo, but if you yourself did it, you'd be pater. And certain things, pater al masa shoro, excuse me, pater al masa shoro, if your cow does it, you will be pater. But v'chayev al masa atmo, but if you did it, you'll be chayev. So two examples each way. They're not just, when I say two examples each way, I don't mean, and there could be millions more. This is like, I think there are basically two kinds of examples each way. So the first is Shoro Shabiyash. If your cow goes and does something humiliating to somebody else, your cow runs past me and with his horn pulls down my pants. So then, Pater, you as the cow owner are Pater, you're the Mazik, your cow is the Mazik, but you're Pater because as opposed to Vahu Shabiyash Chayav, if you would do it to me, then you'd be Chayav. Okay? For breaking my underwear or whatever it is, my belt, and for embarrassing me and whatever, all the above. I mean, well, I think if you want to do a classic case, we'll have it that your cow attacked me and part of the attack ended up being that my trousers got pulled down. You attacked me and my trousers got pulled down. So if the cow attacking me for the busha part of it, for the trousers ended up being down, you would have to pay for you, the owner of the cow that did it to me. But if you did it yourself, then you'd be chayav. So the reason why, first of the reason why is because it's the pasuk. The pasuk, ki natsu anashim, when men will fight, that's when the different other payments kick in besides the nezek payment. Gosh, excuse me. In other words, the ripui, the doctor's bills, the boshes, the embarrassment, as well as the tsar, the pain, and the sheves, the unemployment. Those extra four payments are about people, not about animals. So your animal does it. Your animal hurts me. You're not chayav for any of this stuff other than the nezek component of it, the damage. So the truth is then, really, there's nothing special about busha. Truth is that if your cow goes and attacks me and my trousers get pulled down, besides the fact that you won't pay for busha, you also won't pay for my unemployment if I'm out of work for a day, or my repaying my doctor's bills, etc. Just pay for the damage. Now, the reason why the Mishnah focuses on the humiliation angle, the busha part of it, is because there's something to be learned out from that, as opposed to other ones, which is the same way a cow is pater from busha across the board. Doesn't, like, there's no exceptions to the rule. Same goes for a person. If I attack you and I didn't mean to embarrass you, but you ended up getting embarrassed, regardless of my kavana, I'm chayav to pay you. For busha. We'll see in the eighth pair. We'll discuss it. Okay. Basically, how much you pay to not let it happen to you. What?
Pain and suffering.
Emotional suffering. But let me just clarify something that I said yesterday versus today so it's clear. Yesterday I said, if a few days ago I said that if a person's sleeping and he rolls over and he smashes the lamp next to him, then he's chayav because adamu ad la'olam. Then we said if he's sleeping next to another person, he rolls over and pokes the guy's eye out, he's also chayav. But we said the difference there was he's only chayav for nezek. That Mishnah was teaching that just same way when you smash a lamp, you just pay for the nezek. So too when you smash a person in your sleep, you only pay for the damages. So the reason over there, as opposed, and not, for example, the bush involved not having an eye. So there the reason why is because he didn't have any kavana to hurt anybody at all. Okay? you didn't have kavana to damage. So since there's no kavana to cause damage, it just happened to happen, then the nezek kicks in. It's like a kli, but the busha doesn't kick in. Yesterday we talked about chopping wood. Wood chips flying to the public place. And there we said he didn't have kavana to hurt anybody. But he should have known better, and therefore he's on the hook for everything. On the hook of everything. So the difference is to be chayav for busha, you need to have had intent, even passive intent, like by Mu'ud Olam, to hurt someone. Doesn't matter if you intended to embarrass them. You still have to pay for the embarrassment. But if you didn't intend to hurt them at all, there was no intent to harm, period, then you would be putter from busha, which is the... If you didn't intend to harm at all, you'd be putter from busha, because you didn't intend to harm them. So the standard is different. And again, let me just reiterate, make sure it's clear. The standard for busha is you have to have intent to hurt, but not intent necessarily to embarrass.
So
if
you enter self-defense, and you cause embarrassment through that,
then you're putter altogether.
There's no intention.
That's a separate thing. But I'm saying, so the difference, so again, so but that reference was clear. Mm-hmm. For busha, you have to have intended to hurt the person, but doesn't have intended to embarrass him. If you didn't even intend to embarrass him, didn't even intend to hurt him, then you won't have to pay for the busha. Did I say something? If you didn't even intend to hurt him, then you won't have to pay for the busha.
How about emotional hurt?
We'll get to all these other things. Like the main eighth parak is the main chapter dealing with human beings hurting each other. This is just a side point. I'm just only reason I'm bringing it up here is because I'm preempting the question: why is he focused on busha? It could have been said sheves, unemployment or ripui. It's all the same thing. If your cow hurts me, you only pay for nezek. You don't pay for sheves or boshas or ripui or tsar. None of that stuff. The reason why the Mishnah chose example of a busha of embarrassment. It's on my throat, maybe.
What if?
The reason why I chose busha is because when it comes to human beings, we don't care if you didn't mean to embarrass the person. If you embarrass him and you intended to hurt him, just like a cow, we don't care what he intended to do, he's potter. A human being, we don't care what you intended to do, you're chayav. Yeah? Okay. He didn't intend to do anything at all. Nah.
I just want to double check, please. So if they were embarrassed, you didn't intend to embarrass them.
Yeah.
You were teasing, whatever, but they were embarrassed.
3:10.
Then. We didn't intend to embarrass them or hurt them.
3:10.
No, we don't. Well. You just called them words? We're not talking about that. You attack them.
Sometimes you attack. You should be fun of a group of people. The joke, in fact, they ended up being embarrassed. But your intention was not to embarrass them.
Yeah, no, that's something else altogether. Mm-hmm. We're talking about some sort of assault, at least,
right.
Or assault and battery. And but that one of the components we're taking is like, we'll call it something like emotional distress. That's what they usually call it. They don't usually call it humiliation. We're talking about the emotional distress component of an assault, or worse case, not just name calling. Okay, so that's the first part. And the second example, where we have, where your cow doing it, you're not on the hook for, but if you did it, you would have been on the hook for, is Shorosh Asima Es Ein Avdo. If your cow goes and blinds the eye, knocked out the eye of my Eved, or Vahipa Lashina, or knocked out my Eved's tooth. Now, if you recall, the din is that a Eved normally goes free if you knock out his tooth or his eye, or really any of his 24 other Evarim, limb, that what he called Roshe Evarim, tips of his limb. So lose an eye, lose a tooth, or any of his 10 fingers, that's 10, any of his 10 toes, that's 20, or his 2 ears, 22, or his nose, 23, or his Aver, 24. So that's 24 different things. If you lose the tip of any of these things, they don't grow back, then the Eved would go free. In addition to... We're talking about an Eved Kanani here, an Eved that you own. He becomes Jewish. Huh? So, good morning. So that's true when it comes to people causing damage, but it's not true when a cow causes damage. If a cow causes, if your animal causes my eved damage, or my eved causes my own eved damage, for that matter, that eved will not go, that eved will not go free. Whereas my cow attacks my own eved. Nothing happens to the eved. I mean, he gets injured. That's what happens to the eved. It's not even a payment, because any payment that would go to the eved would come back to me. Is that right? But if I injure my eved by knocking out an eye, knocking out a tooth, or another limbs, tips of the limbs, so then I would be obligated to set them free. So that's what the Mishnah says. Shur shasima es ein avdo. If my cow knocks out my slave's eye, vehipel shino, or knocks out his tooth, pater. Vu shasima es ein avdo, vehipel eshen shino. If I had done it myself, knocking out his eye or tooth or any other Rosh Evarim, then I would be chayiv and I'd have to send him free. I'd lose the eved. So those are the two categories of things that the payments that human beings would have had to pay, but as the owner of the cow, you wouldn't have to pay. Now, two examples the other way around, where if my cow does it to you, I'm chayiv to pay, but if I did it myself, I wouldn't be chayiv to pay. So that's very counterintuitive. Now, the reason for these two examples are going to be, there's a rule in the Torah that crops up lots. It's going to come up again often, called kimlei derab mine, which means hold him up, like kum lei to him, derab mine to like the greater of the two, rabba like the bigger mine of them. Meaning, if a person's on the hook for two different crimes, one of the crimes is a capital crime, or even a chiv karas crime for that matter. In other words, real example. Example number one. If a person injures his parents, calls a chabura, and he draws blood, a drop of blood. A person hits his parent and a drop of blood is drawn. So that's a misa, that's a chiv misa. Most yumas, that means the person gets chenek, what do you get at the strangulation by the two. Always we need the warning of witnesses, yeah. But don't get bogged down by that here, because the reason why is because that doesn't matter in this case. In other words, indeed, it's true. For a person to be punished, he'll always need to have Edim and Hasra, witnesses and warning, and then he says, I don't care, and does it anyways. So that's true. That's for sure true, to get punished. But here, since it's a capital crime to punch your father and draw blood, even if we can't punish you under the law because we don't have kosher Edim, we didn't have proper warning, whatever it is, that wouldn't matter. Your crime is still a capital crime. And therefore, the damage you caused him, you're not going to pay for. So in other words, Kimlei Derabmani, he has two crimes on his hands. He has the fact that he has to pay Nezek for a broken arm, and he also has to pay for the fact that since the arm shot through the broken hand, the bone stuck out, blood was drawn, and therefore he's Chayav Misa. Even if we can't execute, because we lack some technical problem, he will not pay for the Nezek. It's a separate principle across the board. So when I'm obligated, when I do a capital crime, someone's punishable by death, for example, hurting my father by drawing blood, he will not, if he takes me to Beis Din, he will not be able to collect for the Nezek. We don't make a person pay when they're on the hook for the worst, they're on the hook for death. Even if we're not actually going to execute them. Yeah. So that's, yeah. In other words, yeah. We can philosophize about it afterwards, why that would be.
That's a weird way, too, because they're going to be, killed.
So if they're going to be killed, for sure it makes sense. But I just want to speak out to you. But it's going to happen. The din will be the same even if he's not going to be killed. I'm just speaking that out.
Assuming he's killed.
They have a claim against his estate.
No, because they don't even claim against him when he's alive, let alone when he's dead.
But what do you mean by he will not be killed? What do you mean? That he's still a capital offense?
The guy takes a knife and sticks it in his father's back, and the dad survives.
Right.
Okay? But luckily for him, the only witnesses were his brothers, or Pussel Adam. So the father says, my son is a murderer, stuck a knife in my back, and here's the wounds, and here are the witnesses. He will not get punished, because there's no kosher witnesses, only brothers.
So he gets off free.
But
he has to pay for the damage.
But he will not pay for anything. Not for the hole in the suit, not for the hole in the suit, not for the hole in the back, not for the embarrassment, or the unemployment, or the pain, any of that. There's nothing. So I'm just saying, when you do a crime that's punishable by death, when a person does a crime punishable by death, then he doesn't pay for the financial components. Yeah, exactly. Doesn't pay now. So we can philosophize why. My understanding of it very simply is that the best word I'm thinking of right now is belittles. That's not the word I want, though. But it belittles the significance of the main crime. Yeah, it's like there's something much more serious on the table here. Much more serious.
It's getting off. There's no penalty.
Yeah, but you know what? You can. There's a heavy duty Muslim in this because you see it. You see it in like the real world and certainly politics and all the time. Like, there's no like, I don't know. Again, I'm black. I don't have a better word at the minute than like moral equivalence. That's not the word I want exactly either. But we're not going to make the guy pay because that like makes as if like he's sort of made some sort of restitution. No, there's no restitution for sticking a knife in someone's back or hitting your father. Period. Like that's so you got off on a technicality, but it's a tenuum of God. We're not going to play games and say okay, so also pay $50. It's a joke. In other words, I'll take a more like a bullet case, which is more of the like a more classic killing robbery. You shoot a person and the bullet goes into his heart and he dies. So you're really, there's two things. The classic Kinley Durabine. You've got a dead guy, and you've got a hole in a shirt. Okay? So, right? So the shirt needs to get repaired. So, okay, but we're going to execute the guy. So I'm saying, so let's just take the most extreme case. So we execute him. We execute the murderer. For the wife of the dead guy to go claim on the murderer and his family, you owe me, you know, $6.82 for the tailoring to repair the shirt. So that totally, like, undermines the significance of what went on.
Absolutely.
Right.
Someone stabs their father, and the father can't work for 2 months, and the guy just gets off free. He has no damages, you know?
Right. None of that.
Punisher.
Yeah, killing the rabbi. So he's putter. He's got something worse to deal with. We're not. But we could sort of speculate further psychologically. The psychological payment is much more severe if you have no way to pay back. I mean, that's also, it's not insignificant, by the way, I should point out.
Is he Chaim,
right? I mean, Menoshimai? Of course, sure, he's a murderer. He's a murderer. He's going to get it. Okay. I'll give you a different kind of example, but maybe it'll ring true this point in terms of the, you know, when a person has a car accident, but an accident, and he causes someone to get very hurt. So, if he can't make any restitution for whatever he doesn't, so it haunts him forever. But if he had an insurance claim or paid his $25,000 and whatever it is, he like feels he can go on with his life. Like he feels like I settled the score, or I paid my debt, even though he hasn't. Very difficult. So now we're sort of speculating, but in terms of the Torah's rationale. But the Torah's rule is clear. The Torah's rule is clear that if you do a crime that's punishable by death or even karas, even if you're not going to get the death of cars for whatever technical reason, well, the death for technical reasons, then you still don't pay the lesser damages. So you see again, like, this theme's come up 100 times, and it'll come up 100 more. Like, we're much less interested in compensation of the victim than we are about. That seems to never.
He wasn't even convicted,
right. He's getting free here.
Yeah.
It's a little bothersome that there's no penalty for here and now.
Okay, so fine.
That makes sense.
Right. Yeah, that's the Torah system. So that's what's going on over here. So here, when it says if a person inside, shor shechaval ba'aviv uveimo, if I don't live with my parents anymore, I'm a big boy, and I have a cow, and my dad comes to visit, and my cow goes and attacks my dad, shor shechaval ba'aviv uveimo, or it's my mother, chayev. Then I'm obligated to pay them. Watch your animal, and I'm paying chatzin ezek for whatever damage is done. But who? But if it would be me myself, shechavel ba'av v'imo, and I would punch my mother and my father, that's already. And you have to draw blood to be chayv misa. Okay, less than that's not. So at that point, a chabura, but a chabura means to draw blood.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not in modern Hebrew, I know, but.
It's
a, what? Yeah. I think it needs to emerge. You need to draw blood, I believe. I believe not. I think drawing a bruise is only a problem for Shabbos. That is a problem. But I think, maybe the machlokas member hitting the rats, whatever, doesn't matter. The point is, I think to be chayv, for this, you need to draw blood proper. So, then I'll be putter because I have this other problem, bigger problem of the chiyav misa. Okay. And a similar case, here we're not talking about damaging people, we're talking about breaking Shabbos. So again, breaking Shabbos, even b'mezid of course is also a chayav, skila, but even b'shogeg, it's still chayav karas. Sorry, I'm wrong. B'mezid is chayav karas, shogeg is chayav karvan. But it's still a crime that's like a karas or misa crime. So, yeah, if they're proper aid and witnesses, if a person breaks Shabbos with proper warning and witnesses, then he gets misa, execute, stoning. If he doesn't have proper witnesses or aid them, whatever, or test wait or warning, then he gets karas, whatever karas is. But and if there's not none of the above, it's an accident, so then he only, quote unquote, only has to bring a korban, a chatas. But all those things carry with it the severe penalty. So therefore, shuro shahidlik es hagadish b'shavas. If my cow manages to get a hold of a flaming match and carries it in its teeth and burns down your haystack, right? So chayev, alvi chayev. Because that's the chayev, right, of its shuros, by the way, for what it's worth, right? Because it's like the power of the cow. But in any case, alvi chayev for my cow's activity of burning down your haystack. V'hu shahidlik es, the case, the cat, yeah, fine. V'hu shahidlik es hagadish b'shavas, if I directly go and light your haystack on fire to burn it down, pater, alvi pater. Because that carries a death penalty of chil Shabbos anyways. Again, even if they couldn't prosecute me, even if whatever it is, since breaking Shabbos is like a capital crime, you don't pay for the financial, the components of it. Kimli derav meaning. Okay, that's the Torah system.